Classy.
4K. Fantasy. Kings of War.
Kings of War.
Elves with lasers and tanks. Oh my stars. We're recording live at a hobby night at a gaming convention. Some guys.
Look at them roll.
In a basement.
It's a tournament. It's Basement Con.
It's Basement Con. Basement Con Hot 12.
Who was the guy we always used to make fun of for his Basement Con? Do you remember that?
Oh, I don't remember that guy. But yeah, I remember the Basement Con.
That's all right. Adeptus
Basementus. That's good.
Would you give us some prize support for Adeptus Basementus?
Hey, actually, I was actually going to announce. I'm now having an official contest for Game Classy.
Whoever's going to be the 30th person to subscribe.
Not the 30th. That's going to happen. When we get 100 likes on Facebook, I will roll a D100.
Mm-hmm.
I will videotape the roll of the D100, and whoever I roll I will give them a War Machine box set.
Ooh.
2-player starter for War Machine.
Uh oh. That's pretty nice. Actually, everyone got quiet when they heard that.
Yeah, wait,
they're like, price support? What?
Free stuff?
Huh? Yeah, likes on the Game Classy Facebook. If we get to 100 likes, I'm gonna roll a D100. I'll record the roll, and whoever I roll for, I'll give a 2-player War Machine starter to.
Game Classy.
But you didn't want to play War Machine.
Yeah. I'll take free stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not immune to that.
So this is our big 6th edition podcast.
It's the new edition of Lord of the Rings, War of the Ring, right?
Yeah, the new War of the Ring edition.
Nice.
I like the fact
they have these regiment bases where you put your circle bases in, and they let you make a regiment out of your circle bases. That'll be really cool.
Yeah,
I'm excited to see Space Marines in there.
I heard Grey Knights are amazing in the new Lord of the Rings edition.
Yeah, they're probably pretty good.
The only way they could get people,
but they don't
to
have any cav.
Game.
They don't have any cav.
What, Grey Knights?
Yeah, they have no cav.
Oh no, the Grey Knights got cav right now.
No,
in the new edition,
the Space Wolves have cav at least. Like they're gonna have a big advantage, big movement advantage.
Well, anyway, we got some people recording with us today. If they want to introduce themselves.
Hmm. Oh, Steve Maples.
Josh Redman.
Pat Gatzo.
Anyone else wants to take part in this? Well, you'll hear other voices coming in on occasion. But these are the people that are around us. Well, what's that? Oh, he already liked us?
Yeah, we just got liked.
Oh, we got our 30 likes!
30. Oh, now I get access to the insights that they kept teasing me about.
It's actually kind of nice. I have that. I use that for the
pun. I'm going to find out. I'm rock hard about it right now. This is fantastic.
Nice.
The other side of the
phone. So anyway, we're going to talk about the new 40K 6th edition rulebook. And all of the fun, crazy stuff on it. If you recall from last week and probably a couple weeks, Steve has reversed in direction.
Not a reversal. 432 pages, $75.
Steve was originally...
Pathfinder rulebook, 523 pages, $55.
Actually, Steve, you can talk about that a little bit while I find his text where he talks about how he's going to get out of 40K for good.
Yeah, show me.
Okay. And then he goes... And then just today, I walk into his apartment, and he's got a huge box of Necrons. And I'm like,
hey, to be fair, I did not spend any money on them.
And I'm like, Steve, where are you going to get these Necrons from?
I did not spend any money on them.
And he's like, no, get back into 40K.
I mean, if you want to play a miniatures game in the Chicagoland area, you should probably have 40K in your arsenal. Because, you know, if you want to just be able to go to a store and play a game, if you don't have 40K with you, it's never going to happen.
It's very true.
If you live in Madison, you can do that with War Machine. You walk in all bunch of game stores in Madison, play yourself some War Machine.
June 20th, 2012, at 3:49 p.m., Steve texts me and says, "Seriously, considering saying fuck 40K."
Considering? See? I told you. I said considering.
And that's where I called you a GW fanboy, and you said those words.
You're a way bigger GW fanboy. You were just talking about how great Warhammer is.
I love Warhammer.
Yeah, exactly. You're a bigger fanboy.
Great game.
It's a shit game. It's awful. Not 40K. Fantasy.
All right, so let's talk about
40K. Let's talk about you and me.
That didn't work.
That didn't work.
Yeah.
I blame you.
It's true. Not a lot of things rhyme with 40K, except
hard gay.
Yeah, you are gay.
Talk about 40K. It's not really hard gay. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway,
hard gay.
Steve really likes the new edition. No, you like it.
Yeah, all right. There are parts of it that I enjoy. I think there are good changes. I think there are terrible changes as well. I don't like the fact that they made it way more random. There's so much more randomness to the game.
And in case you didn't hear that little cough in the background, that was a cough that said vehicles.
Oh, yes. If anyone recalls when we were talking about the new edition before we knew anything about it, I was like, vehicles are going to blow.
Yeah.
And infantry's going to be good. And biggest shocker of all, vehicles blow.
Yeah. Which is incredibly not
incredible. Should be to the surprise of no one.
Yes.
If anyone's upset that their mech army is bad now, I mean, you should have seen that coming, buddy. Come on.
All right.
Seriously.
So let's
metal boxes!
Let's break this down. Let's talk about what you liked first. What did you like first?
Okay.
And anybody can feel free to jump in on this, too.
I like pre-measuring. Big fan of pre-measuring. I like pre-measuring in all games. Anytime you can pre-measure, I'm a fan.
Got some weird looks on that one.
Don't like the random charge distance.
No?
Nope. It's not a mitigation. It's not a skill test. It's not a risk reward. It's chucking dice and hoping it happens.
See, the thing with that though, Steve, is last edition you were rolling random charge distances every time you charged, anyways, because everybody sat in cover, and if you wanted to charge, you had to charge into cover, which is a random charge distance,
which I also don't like.
But it's not something that's really new.
Well, it's a
this edition.
Okay, this is flat out totally random though. Every time, like if you charge someone in the open, you might fail because you rolled a three.
And it's also not if anybody who played fantasy with 8th edition, it's all random charge.
It's
now.
So bad.
It's not bad.
No, that
you just like the taste of poop in your mouth.
No,
I think that makes the game far more playable and interesting to play.
The random charges?
Yeah. Absolutely.
It makes it way less tactical.
You're going to play the odds.
But playing the odds, that's what I'm saying. Playing the odds is not a skill tester. It's not rewarding you for better strategy. It's like, oh, you rolled well. Way to go. Also, it removes...
It's not even a risk reward, because when I was playing the season...
That's what I'm saying, it's not.
If I wasn't around 6 inches to charge, I'm not even going to attempt to charge.
But in...
Because when I declare the charge, they get a snap fire. I'm giving them free shots if I fail.
Well, yeah.
If I'm within
in 40K...
I'm going all day
In 40K,
long.
That matters, because everything stand and shoots. In fantasy, if you're not charging something that can't stand and shoot, if you're 12, if you need to roll boxcars to reach them,
you
wouldn't charge at 12.
You always charge.
Not at 12.
Yeah, if you need boxcars to reach them, you still charge. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you charge?
Because you could fail the charge.
And which does nothing because they're super far away.
Yeah, but that would put you within charge range of them next
turn. No, because the farthest you'll go is 6 inches.
In fantasy, you got to get
which
the charge
means
in.
Now you're 6 inches away from them, and they're going to basically auto-charge you.
No, 2d6, 2d6 plus your move.
Yeah.
To reach. So if you're a fort, you're 16 inches away. If you go six, if you roll a six and a one,
but
you're 10 inches away.
But even still,
but then my base movement of four, I need a six on two dice.
Still go for the charge. But again, I guess on the other, I guess the other point on fantasy where the random charge isn't really that big of a deal is there's no real benefit to charging. You get a plus one to combat res. There's no real like advantage to charging in fantasy.
Not anymore.
Other than getting into hand to hand.
Yeah.
So like against armies that shoot. Against shooting armies, you just go for it because you want to make it in there as fast as possible because you're going to take extra shots.
Yeah, we understand that.
Beyond
but
that...
But we're not talking fantasy.
Yeah.
We're talking 40K today.
So random charges, not a fan. I do not like it. I think you should just have a fucking 6-inch charge.
Okay.
You know, why not? Yeah, because if everybody moves 6, you might have like...
If you disagree, we'll talk about that.
You might have the dance, the like, you know, moving back and forth.
The dance of the Eldar? Is that like to call it?
The Mamushka?
The Mamushka.
Well, you might have the dance, but...
That's the Kasserkins.
But I mean, I just don't feel that that's a big detriment.
Not the Kasserkins. What are the guys with the big furry hats? The Vestroians, thank you.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Valhalla and
the
Vestroians.
Yeah.
That's the people.
We are from Vestroia. They would be a cool army, except they only have 10 sculpts and $1 million.
And a guy here actually owns an army of them.
400
That's sad.
It's all right. Ed Spettigew had three cases full of Mordheim Kislevites
That's really bad, too.
It's insane. For a non-whole army.
That's awful. This podcast is making me very depressed.
Okay, so what else did you like? Stop talking about stuff you didn't like. What did you like?
Psychic powers.
Yeah,
that's Dan Delanois making his first appearance on the podcast.
Yes, the almighty Dan Delanois, who we've spoken of many times, and his love of Brian Michael Bendis. The psychic powers, I like the fact that they've been changed, but again, they're random. So like, why?
Oh, am don't I? Don't start talking about things you don't like. Talk about things
it's so
like,
hard because everything I like has the opposite, the flip side where I don't like.
No,
it.
Just talk about stuff you like.
Okay, I love the vehicle nerfs.
Okay,
vehicle nerfs, good. Maybe a little too heavy on it, but they needed to be pulled back. I like that there are more psychic powers. Hang on. I'm trying very hard to list a like without coming up with an immediate dislike.
He likes the terrain? Terrain rules?
Purchasing terrain rules, that's a negative. That's a negative, Dan Delanois, I'm sorry.
Actually, I'm going to agree on this one. They did it in the fantasy for 8th edition with the terrain.
You can't buy terrain.
No, you can't buy terrain, but...
you can buy terrain.
Terrain.
Yes.
That's the worst. I thought we were talking about good things.
That's what I said. I agree with you. I think it's a bad thing.
Yes.
Dan brought that up. Well, as long as Steve is looking, what are some other things that people liked, if they want to throw it out there?
I like the wound allocation.
You like wound allocation?
Yeah, I think the guy in front is going to get shot before the guy in back.
Now, I think a lot of that is... another one where I like the good... That's the good bad.
Josh and Steve had a big argument about this, and I'm glad they got it out before we got on the podcast. Because it was boring.
It wasn't as much an argument as me just saying that it's going to be googlied.
It's all...
It's a rule that's going to get googlied.
Number hammer. What's up, Dave? You need anything?
It's not really number hammer.
Dave doesn't want to be on the podcast.
He Indiana Jones that plate.
Yeah. He did. But the wound, it's basically... Someone explain the wound allocation really quick.
You kill the closest thing. If you're shooting, you shoot the closest model. If you're in hand-to-hands, you hand-to-hand the closest model.
So it makes it worthwhile to put the guy with the most wounds and the most saves up in the front.
Yes.
Closest.
Yes.
So that he takes all the wound allocation.
Which is going to... Not that I think it's too overpowered or bad, because you only have two HQs. I think it's... Can possibly slow the game down.
But with Grey Knights. Steve just shook his head.
Yeah, they're still really fucking good. They're still probably the best army.
Until the next
one. I think that's an argument.
I said probably. Yeah. I think
Imperial Guard got the most help.
Imperial Guard got a buff. I mean, most of the armies, it seems to be mostly universal buffs. The Tau are in a really bad shape with their vehicles right now. But everything else in the army has gotten, so much better. So, they're expensive vehicles that die at the drop of a hat. You can kind of ignore those and just play footmans. You just, play a foot Tau army, which formerly was terrible. Now it's just like...
You flop 72 Fire Warriors in the town. What's going to make baby Jesus
cry? Yeah, because before you would be like, you have more than 6 Fire Warriors in your army? So what's wrong with you?
What you could do is you could walk into the bunker with your gun case full of Tau. Yes. I think I know what I'm talking about. Whip that on the table, whip out your Tau, and just beat up on some 12-year-olds.
Hell yeah. And make up rules as you go.
Make up rules.
No. My Fire Warriors, I took the special Oshovas upgrade, and I have weapon scale 5. Initiative 6. They've only got hand-to-hand. They've only got close combat weapons, though, so it's pretty balanced.
I've glued knives onto my Tau's forehead, so they're better fighters.
Clearly.
All they do is headbutt?
Yes. There's a cocked dice special rule.
Yeah?
That's pointing out here.
What's that?
It's cocked, re-roll it, no matter what.
Re-roll it, always.
It says don't even try balancing a dice anymore, just pick it up and re-roll it.
That's smart that they put that in the rule book, because if people, if I ever came across someone who argued that rule to me, I would get up and leave.
Ruling cocked dice?
I have.
No worries.
He only re-rolled his misses, he never re-rolled his hits.
No, that's just standard, though.
That's fantastic.
That's standard.
You know, you can eliminate a lot of cocked dice arguments. Like if I'm playing in a tournament, I use a dice tray.
Yeah.
Roll all of your dice in this tray. Here's the tray. Roll it. You can get a really big one, casino style, green felt. They're $5. Huge. Roll all your dice in the tray. Because then there's never any cocked dice. It just doesn't happen.
I think that all tournament games should have a dealer, like in craps, who oversees the dice roll.
Mm. Oh, and then the most important rule is nobody wants to waste valuable gaming time arguing, so be prepared to interpret a rule, blah, 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 blah. This is a big change here. Biggest change in the 40K rulebook. On the result of 1 to 3, player A gets to decide the ruling. And on a 4, 5, or 6, player B decides the ruling. This is a huge change, because in 5th edition, you rolled off. And whoever got the higher roll was the one who was able to decide. Now, it's flat, 1, 2, 3, player A, 4, 5, 6, player B. Which is a big change.
But how do you determine who's player A and player B?
Yeah, you have to roll off first. You have to roll off to determine who's player A, B. Then roll to see the 1, 2, 3, or 4, 5, 6. The most important rule.
Because you can just hear that now. I'm A. No, you're A.
I was A, remember?
No, I'm A.
You should make the... This should be special 40K hats that you have to wear that have an A and a B on it.
I want to run a tournament, a 40K tournament, where we're absolutely strict. Enforce the most important rule. So anytime there's a rules argument, I'll be like, player A, player B, roll them! Like somebody rolls the die and it's like, yay! My Grey Knights can shoot 72 inches!
But you have to roll to see who gets the roll.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Or an eeny, meeny, miny, mo game. It'll be like, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. It'll be good. I want to play the tournament where that rule is strictly enforced.
I don't think that could ever actually... I don't think a 72-inch range is ever accurate.
I saw 72 inches in my book, and you just have a photoshopped page in your book, and you're like, see, 72. And they're like, oh, that's a misprint.
That's different.
It's a misprint. It's like, it's in my book. Looks like we've got to go to the most important rule, you son of a bitch.
Steve and his most important rule.
I mean, it's a big change.
Is there anything else that you guys, anybody really likes? I like the ally rules. Steve doesn't like it. We talked about this earlier.
Oh, God, they're so bad.
I think it's fun.
So terrible.
I've always liked the allies. I liked it back when they had it in 5th edition fantasy.
The only way the allies rules would have been acceptable, the only way, and I still think it's pointless, but the only way is if it's a troop choice. You could take one troop choice from another army with a realistic alliances chart. Because, you know, the Dark Eldar and the Eldar, battle brothers, baby. They're always holding hands. They're always best friends.
They do the dance of the Eldar.
Apparently.
I like the allies. The only caveat I would have made was limit the point value to ally in.
The combos are going to be so degenerate.
25% of your army can be allies.
Because what is it?
You can ally Imperial Guard.
It's 25%, yeah.
It's not.
There's no limit. You get an HQ and two
An HQ and troop.
Yeah.
And then you can take a heavy. You can take an additional troop and then one of every other choice. Imperial Guard, though, that can be 1,000 points worth of stuff.
Yeah.
Because their troop choices are gigantic.
That's true.
And there's some abusive combos, and I had a conversation with the guy online.
Well, in Dark Eldar, every Dark Eldar player is going to take a Farseer now.
Well, the thing is, you can't guide Dark Eldar because it says Eldar units only, so only Codex Eldar units can be guided.
Ah.
And I had a conversation, that you can do the same thing with the Divination Psychic Power, though. It does the exact same thing.
Okay.
But so it's still possible. I like allies. I think it's fun.
No, I think it adds a very complex element to the game.
And I think in a competitive fashion, I don't know. I think it's going to be you're going to see people are going to allow allies in their tournaments for a while, and they're going to see some of these ridiculous combos, and they're going to abandon it because it's not...
Either that or they'll put a limit on it for that
tournament. The whole idea and the thought process behind allies...
Sell more miniatures.
...was...
Yeah, well, you're within
yes and no. I think in the game development stage of it was to try giving the older books something. You can ally in one of these newer books, and now you're kind of supplementing the weakness of that older army, so they're all a little bit more on par with each other. The problem in doing something like that, though, is the newer armies get to fill in their weaknesses as well, which still doesn't really balance.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I like the ally. I think it's fun.
I think if you have to have allies, like, I can't argue against allies in, like, if my argument can't be to argue against it, I would have liked to have seen a much tightened ally chart. Because the ally chart is goofy as hell. Necrons and Grey Knights are at a higher level of alliance than Necrons and Blood Angels. Like, why are the Grey Knights all allied with anyone? They should have no alliances.
There are no allies of convenience anybody.
Do you remember?
No, allies of convenience with Necrons. Yes, Grey Knights are allies. I just looked at it when we were driving here.
We drove.
Allies of convenience with Necrons.
Book out.
Necrons.
We can
throw it.
It's
like 112.
Do you remember back in... Does any old player remember 2nd edition?
Yes.
Like, where Grey Knights were, like, the greatest kept secret in the Imperium? And now
I think that's a good thing about the Grey Knights is you can take your normal army and here's my like Terminator squad I'm allying with Grey Knights. And now it feels more like Grey Knights used to be.
Yeah, it's just if Grey Knights were the best kept secret, everybody would be playing.
I mean, that's just the background. Like the background gets shifted.
Let me see. I have my glasses on. Damn it!
They're right here. Allies of Convenience with the Grey Knights, Necrons. I'm gonna play Necronites.
I'm playing Necrons and Crone Berserkers.
Now Tyranids is the only ally chart that I agree with. They are allies with no one. That's the only one that I agree with. They're allies with no one. So. Yeah, see? Allies of Convenience with Necrons. How stupid is that? And so if these were a little tightened and they made sense, I would probably be a little less like allies are the stupidest thing I've ever seen. You know, maybe if it was like, oh, obviously all of the Marine chapters are Battle Brothers.
Here's why, though. Because Necrons don't have demons, but the Blood Angels do. Their Primarch was a demon. So that's why they have a little bit more of allegiance with the Necrons, is their Primarch wasn't a demon.
Let's also put this out there that Josh is a dedicated Space Wolf player who will never play Dark Angels.
We got so much better.
I'm not a guy who's ever had a specific chapter. I can look at most of the people in this room and point to specific chapters.
What was my chapter?
Death Guard. And you know, Dark Angel players. No one here, I think, is a dedicated Blood Angel player.
Blangles,
Brian Carlson, friend of people from the podcast, is a Blood Angel player.
He's an everything player. That dude is like infinite armies.
And then we know the one guy who plays Ultramarines.
Let's not forget the Celestial. No, not Celestial Lions. The White Lions? What were the...
What do you want to talk about?
That army that had that really cool Damocles conversion. What was that?
Celestial Lions.
They weren't Celestial Lions, because the Celestial Lions have a blue and gold.
Oh, no, that's the one that Lyson did and ended up selling to Roy Albertalli.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I was supposed to say that, but whatever.
what was in there? I can't remember.
Did you see my Damocles?
Did you see my Damocles?
Have you seen it? Have you seen it?
Hold on. Did someone say Damocles?
I saw them
when he was supposed to be banned for life.
No, he's not banned
Nobody
for life.
He was supposed to be.
I guess that's a fact.
I didn't know. Lyson was the one who banned the one guy.
For life. No, he banned both of them. For life. Well, that's not how it goes!
Don't scream into the microphone, Steve. I have to adjust the levels on this post-podcast.
So you mean I'm making more work for you?
Oh, Jesus Lord. Okay, so let's talk about some of the things that really...
We usually didn't get too many, like, likes out of that.
You know what, though?
But in general, I like the game.
Yeah, overall, it seems like it's going to be better. Like, it doesn't seem worse. There's a few things that are pretty irksome.
I think the game's going to take a little bit longer to play.
Yes, the game can take longer to play, and that's... I have a metagame issue with the game, is that in workshop games, consistently, the tournament point sizes go up every edition. So, yeah, every edition. 6th edition, Fantasy, the biggest games you played was 2,000.
Yeah.
7th edition, you went to 2,250.
2,250, then 2,400.
Now it's 2,400. 40K, 3rd edition was 1,500. Then in 4th... 4th and 5th kind of stayed the same, around 1,850.
The reason why 2,400 is important them with 8th edition is because of the percentages. It just makes math easier. It's just 6, 6, 6, 6.
I mean, people could learn to do math.
Well, that's not...
But then you had fractions of points.
Yeah.
I guess you're boned unless you're playing an army that's got a 0.5 point cost model.
Skaven.
I believe Skaven have that.
Yeah. Skaven. Goblins. Aren't goblins? No, goblins aren't 0.5 anymore.
Yeah.
Skaven's had shields for 0.5.
Yeah.
That's
so... So the armies of point games progressively bigger.
So the only way to solve this is if we start all playing Mantic games.
No, if you're just jealous because it's so much better than Warhammer.
Oh, this has been a constant struggle.
The
door.
What?
Door?
Oh, get the. Oh, he was pointing me to the door to leave. Is what it was. I get it.
He's pointing to Steve, not
oh,
you.
Oh, pointing to. Oh, okay, he's pointing to Steve to get out.
Steve's a hater.
I get jokes.
I'm a hater. I don't think you got that.
Maybe I did. I don't know.
Anyway,
by the way, that was
I just
Todd
called
Fletcher.
Was I just called a door?
He was told for you to get to the door.
Oh, why?
Because you suck.
Nah.
Because you're whatever. We can. I'm not going to talk bad about Mantic. I like Mantic a lot.
No, where was I? I had a point.
Yes.
Smaller games.
Yeah.
I think the biggest game of 40K 1500.
I agree with you on that. I think smaller games are more fun. That's
to
just
play in a time scenario. Yeah, 1500.
Yeah.
As of right now, the game's going to get easier as you play more.
But I actually had that discussion with Brian and Kevin. We were talking about how there's more rules, and we pointed out that yeah, things will get a little quicker as you grasp them. But there's just stuff you're going to have to do mechanically.
Yeah, mechanically it's going to take a little bit longer.
Yeah.
I think the movement phase is going to take the longest.
Yes.
I think movement phase is going to take longer than shooting and close combat.
Most likely.
Oh, I agree. Because
position of your models means more.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah.
So I think the game is going to be...
You're going to see a lot more nitpicking on smaller, like if a guy... Like, this is the problem with terrain, is like if you have a guy that's kind of leaning on terrain, and he's going to be kind of falling, and you're going to want to adjust them, but you can't, because it screws up where the guy's placed.
They actually have a rule in there that wobbly-mowl syndrome or something.
Wobbly.
You can't leave him on a place that he's wobbly?
If he's wobbly, you replace him like a coin or a marker and you remove the model.
Oh, interesting.
And that's where the model is represented to be, so that way he's not falling all over and breaking. Because some of the terrain you can't...
Get a base.
Yeah.
Put the base down.
It does say something in the rulebook about that.
Interesting.
That's
interesting.
Nice. Or you could play with a completely magnetized table. With magnets on all your bases.
I did that with Button.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We used Velcro on a road trip to Baltimore Games Day. We Velcroed every square of the Blood Bowl table and our team, so we can actually play it upside down.
That's actually a really good idea.
That's awesome. Blood Bowl Travel Edition.
I love Blood Bowl.
That's badass.
I didn't play enough Blood Bowl.
I actually never liked Blood Bowl.
You never liked it?
The way Steve likes to play, Blood Bowl is a beer and pretzels game. You have the best strategy in the world, you will fuck it up.
Yeah.
Oh, completely agree. But anyway, something I really didn't like about the rulebook when I was reading through it, and this is just me, and this is kind of like a really asinine thing to be complaining about, is there are no preview models of anything coming out.
But there's all the new paints.
That annoys the fuck out of me. This might interest someone who's never played 40K and gets like this.
There's a lot of air in this book.
They get to look at the rulebook and go, oh, this world is immense and complex and beautiful. But to me, I'm like, I want to see what's new.
Yeah, the book, though, went to the printers months ago. So for them to have the models that they're
they got a shit ton of
stuff. I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
They can do concept artwork,
but they're not going to.
Yeah, concept artwork, anything like that.
I don't remember ever in a rulebook where they put out too many preview models.
Well, I mean, they might not like even a preview, but it might be like a group shot of like all of these armies. Like I remember in 6, and I think even the 7th edition rulebook, they would have pictures of the full of like Tomb Kings, and they would show like new Tomb King models. Who's kidding? There was no Duke Tomb King models.
No.
But they might have something similar to that, like for 7th.
Tomb Kings are not real.
Tomb Kings do not exist.
They don't exist.
Steve sold his Tomb Kings or traded it.
I traded it. That's how I got my Necrons. Yeah! I mean, they're still undead and Egyptian-y, but they're actually sweet.
Their rules don't blow.
And they're both very easy to paint.
And I'm painting my Necrons like skeletons.
Yes! Are you really?
Yeah, doing bones.
That's sweet. Yeah. I like that. Alright, so that was my big complaint about this. Like, I just want to see new shit.
So it's an aesthetic thing.
It's an aesthetic thing.
I don't like how much air is in the book. I would like for them to, like, they never will because they're workshop, but I would like for them to offer a smaller, soft cover, slimmed down version that's just rules. No, they only put that in the starter box, which is more expensive than the rule book.
The thing is, though, when you buy the starter box, you split the cost and sell each armor for $50
bucks,
you know,
and you
make
your
money back.
You know what, though?
But that's work. I'm buying work at that point. I just want to buy the mini rule book.
In the secondary market, you could get a smaller rule book on eBay for $25.
I understand. But why don't you offer a soft cover? I'm not saying a smaller rulebook. I want a rulebook that's this size.
Don't go to the
but
primary
soft
market.
Cover.
Go to the secondary market.
It doesn't exist.
What, the secondary market doesn't exist?
No. The size... Okay. The mini rulebook is small.
Yeah.
It's mini.
Oh, you're
I want a full-sized book, but it's a soft cover that's got just rules.
Okay. Then you take your rulebook, you scan it, and then you just print out what you want.
Well, if I do that, I don't need to take my rulebook. I'll just use the PDF I illegally downloaded. Oh no! Did I just mention that? Yeah, I've had this book for a long time. Uh-oh. Oops.
Oh, no.
Oopsie.
Oh,
I have all the codexes
You could buy the ebook that GW will put out.
The $45 Space Marine Codex ebook only on iPad.
The $105 Warhammer 40K rulebook.
Yeah, it's going to be $105.
But it'll have whiz bangs.
Yeah, it's right. And it'll be able to move text around and it'll be like, for the Emperor. And I'll be like, yes!
for the Emperor, indeed.
No, Emperor.
Emperor.
For the Emperor.
Indeed.
Yes, there you go. No, that's how it's done.
Okay.
Yes, or you say that, or you go, follow me, Beth Marines.
Beth Marines.
No, that's how the dude in Dawn of War talks. It's the Space Marine commander. He's like, Beth Marines, it's time to go to war. For the Emperor.
For the Emperor.
That's how he talks.
Oi, what's this?
I was playing Soulstorm yesterday, and the Dark Eldar character has the best loss noise, because when the AI attack planets, they say something like, we'll get them! And then when they win, they're like, wahaha! And then when he runs away and loses, he goes, nah! and he kept attacking, because I completely locked him off on the map, and he kept going to one spot that the Necrons had, and they're like level 10, which is the highest you can get defensive. So every turn, he's like, we'll get them! Nah! And then, like, he kept doing it over, and I'm playing Soulstorm on my couch at like 5 in the morning, and I'm losing my shit because he's like, nah, it's over and over.
Okay, well, let's talk about some of the stuff that Grindr with this new rule book.
The additional randomization elements. There's a lot. There's way more tables, way more charts, way more random rolls. Before the game begins, really.
There's the
Warlord rule. Which I think that's cool. I think the concept of doing Warlord is neat. I like they can have special abilities. Why don't you just let me pick one?
Because you would only pick one.
And that's
make them all good. You can defeat the whole like you get to pick it. Like everyone would only pick the same one. If you just make them all good, you don't need to worry about that. You know, but you can make them because they don't have to do what they do in the book. You know, it's like one, your guys get Furious Charge. Two, your guys get Stealth. Three, you know, give it a buff that passes to the squad. You know, one chart, a buff that passes to the squad, and everybody's Warlord can take it. And then, yeah, some armies might not like the Furious Assault, like Tau, that's not going to be good, but the Stealth will be sweet for them. You know, something like that. And then you make one chart, one that applies just to the Warlord, so you can buff your squad, buff your Warlord, and then the third chart could be something that's a little more nebulous.
That's kind of what it does there.
But it's random. You know, it's D6. And it's not necessarily planned for, but like, I see a lot of games where your opponent's going to roll, and he's going to be like, that's fucking great. This is going to be awesome for this game. And you're going to roll, and you're going to be like, that'll never help my army ever.
Now, is it required that you do the Warlord?
You must.
You must.
Okay. You must. That's part of the game. It is not an optional rule.
Okay.
I like and dislike the vehicle thing. I still want
negatives.
You just said, let's go to the thing that grinds your gears.
Oh, that grinds your gears?
Yeah. Okay. You just said, let's do that.
Okay. But you're like, I like it, and I don't like it.
I just
put stuff you don't like.
with vehicle damage, I hate the fact you can still mobilize, still destroy weapons. I think give vehicles hull points. Glancing does one hull point. Pens do two. And just call it. And obviously, you would adjust the hull points they gave.
We were talking about it, like, why don't you just give them wounds instead of, you know.
Well, hull points and wounds are essentially the same.
Essentially the same.
There's a different, you know, it's black and shadow black.
Shadow black.
Both are black.
You know, like,
and just adjust their hull points. So, like, the vehicles that are currently two hull points under this rule make them three hull points. So if they get glanced, they lose one. Pen, they lose two. You basically add a hull point onto every vehicle. And remove the weapon destroyed thing. Because, I mean, weapon destroyed in a lot of cases, like, you're adding a bunch of bookkeeping that's going to end up being very unnecessary. Like, there's a few games I can remember in all of the years I've played 40K, I think I've maybe had, I can count on one hand the number of games where I've had a vehicle that had, like, a weapon destroyed result or an immobilized result and was still there at the end of the turn. Because most of the time it's like, you're like, okay, weapon destroyed,
but
vehicles destroyed, same turn, it's all gone.
In the grand scheme of things, though, with the changes to the vehicle rules, people are just going to be taking less vehicles, so it doesn't matter.
In theory, or more.
Or more.
Because if you have cheap vehicles, you can spam them, so you mitigate the fact that they blow up.
I think you're going to see a shift, just like you did in last edition, too, where everybody's going to not take vehicles to start, and they're going to have hordes of infantry. And then someone's going to win a grand tournament, and they're going to be rocking vehicles because you don't have you took all heavy bolters. Well, you're not going to be able to do anything to my predators or my land raiders.
The Necron lists put together.
Everybody's going to switch back. Well, Necrons are the exception because if you put vehicles on the table, just shake the guy's hand and say good game,
beard. All, the only, thing they had, only Tesla guns. Yeah. No goth weaponry. Just
that's
Tesla.
What I had before, until this edition.
Yeah, the,
but somebody's going to win a grand tournament like that, and then they're going to switch over. Everybody's going to start taking vehicles again. And then someone's going to win with like an all-infantry army. And you're going to see it's going to constantly evolve. Yeah, right now we all think vehicles are poo because they're not as strong as they used to be.
I don't think they're poo. I think you're just going to you just run less. You risk less points. I mean, rhinos are gonna go back to being the your dudes are in rhinos. They move up, they get the fuck out of the rhino, and they never go back in.
Yeah,
because that's how it was for the longest time.
You move 6
like dark Eldar raiders and stuff like that.
Well, the raiders, well, the skimmers are really resilient still.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Dark Eldar vehicles are gonna stick around
because they get the jink save.
Eldar are gonna stick around with their vehicles. I think Bloodingers can still do it too if they have assault squads.
Remember how the Falcons were sculpted in 1993 and haven't been re-sculpted since?
But they've had like 27 price increases.
Oh,
but
God.
They redid the fire prison.
They did.
The turret.
That must have been why all the price increases happened.
Oh, my God. The pilots of those models are still the same goddamn pilots from, like, second edition. And they're awful looking. They have the pointy heads, but with, the weird messed up grills. So they're like, and they got the arms that go out.
I'm just saying, whenever I see an Eldar army where I see the cockpits are painted over, I'm like, that guy's doing it right.
But the Necrons don't have a cockpit. They just have a dude sitting in the plane.
Yeah, but their dude looks all right.
Yeah,
their dude
looks awesome. It's a new sculpt. Yeah.
He doesn't look like raw poop.
And he's a Necron. He doesn't care if there's a supersonic wind into his face.
Yeah, he's a robot. I'm a murder robot.
I'm thinking about it now. I think that the Eldar Falcon might be one of the oldest models still in production.
Lemon Russ.
Ragnar Blackmane.
Ragnar. Yeah, but
1988.
Lemon Russ.
Lemon
Russ. I was at Games Plus, and I heard these dudes were like nerd raging about 40K to each other. Like they were all like they're starting to get really loud, and one dude was like, "All they needed was Lemon Russ tanks. Oh, it's gonna be so degenerate, Lemon Russ, Lemon Russ." He just kept saying Lemon Russ. I'm like, wow, this is amazing.
I think that the Lemon Russ and the Chimera might be a little older, but they still hold up though. That's the difference.
They're annoying to build for what they are.
Oh, they're really annoying to build.
Those fucking tank treads, fuck that.
They've changed.
Oh, they've changed the tank treads?
They upgraded the tank treads.
Oh, they did.
The only thing they did.
Nice. All right.
They're almost like Space Marine ones where it tells you, like, here's a socket that you know where it goes and it locks it into place. It's not like you always had the gap.
Yes.
On the bottom of your tank.
Some dude commissioned me to build his Imp Guard vehicles that he had started on. And I was like, sight unseen, I'm like, okay. I mean, I don't know how much I'm going to charge you, but bring them by. I'll do the job. You know, whatever the condition is, I'll just tell you the price. All of his lemon rust tanks.
Lemon rust.
None of them had treads, and the treads he had in a giant Ziploc bag. Yeah. Just all of the treads in a Ziploc bag. I'm like, no. What did I agree to?
What did I agree to?
Ended up taking a month to just sort it all out, and then another month to build it. It was awful.
Bad.
I was cursing your name the entire time. I was like, Joel!
Yeah. Son of a bitch! Kata! Until's hot, I stab at thee. Overall, I think this edition is not a bad thing. I think it's a good thing.
The new race for 40K.
Yeah.
Just thought about it.
Gorillas? Monkeys?
Giant.
Monkeys?
No.
Monkeys?
Giant matter manipulating jellyfish.
Yeah?
They're huge jellyfish and they can manipulate matter. So you can have two modes. You can have the giant jellyfish mode where they're iridescent and glowy and the tentacles hanging down. Or you can have the mode where they're in like a hard encased metal shell with lights and they can shoot beams out of the center of their body.
Are you talking about Encounter at Farpoint from Star Trek Next Generation? Do you like how I got that reference?
I did. I was doing that just for you.
They just released that on the Blu-ray, and it looks awesome.
I'm sure it does. They're going to be doing a...
doing the whole series.
At the end of July. Well, this is July. At the end of this month, at Stratford Mall.
Yeah?
They're doing a two-episode viewing.
Nice. Or is it going to be the new HD?
In theater.
No, HDs?
Yeah.
Nice. Let me know when that is.
I'm going. All right.
Is it going to be the two? Is it going to be the two-part Encounter Farpoint, or are they going to do like Sins of the Father?
I believe it's. And no one has come before, or where no one has gone before.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what the. Oh, Data and Lore.
Oh, Data and Lore.
Data Lore and where no one has gone before.
As long as it's not the Inner Light. I love the Inner Light, which is a great episode where Picard learns to do the flute. But that's not a very good episode to watch like on a big screen. You know.
There's not really much to that episode. It's a little Orc 2D2. Steve's making noise for me.
Alright. This would have made Star Wars way better.
If it was an Orc in R2D2?
Yeah. Right. It would have made Star Wars not suck.
It was. It was a Gretchen.
It's a Gretchen. So, for the new edition, I think overall it's a positive thing. It shakes up the game a lot. It makes people have to rethink their lists. There's going to be a lot of guesses.
I mean, there's a lot. Alright, I'm just going to throw this out. Okay. Regardless of the rules, fantasy, 40K, Games Workshop games are beer and pretzels games. But they're very expensive. And for a lot of dudes who play a lot of games, it's difficult to spend the kind of money that they require for a beer and pretzels game. That's I get overall, that's the whole thing with fantasy and 40K.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with the new rulebook.
It does. The new rulebook. It does, because the new rulebook is going to require you to completely redo your army.
Not necessarily.
Unless you already have a giant one.
That's most people who play. You have to understand that when you're playing 40K or fantasy, the compulsion to buy more is so overwhelming that you do it regardless. There's not. I don't think there's a single person in this room right now, in this basement right now, that doesn't have more than one army. It doesn't have. You only have one army because you sold everything. You only got one army?
And Todd's just getting back into it, so.
Oh, okay. But you at one point where it had more than one army, correct? No?
Well, he wants more chaos now.
Oh, well, see, okay. The trick is what I'm doing now is rather than doing to appease that compulsion.
Some of us are married with wives, family, kids.
I am too, but I used to work for the company, so I had all my stuff before I got married.
to appease that compulsion.
You want a box of Marines or 50 cents?
Another game, pretty much. You start another game. That appeases the compulsion.
And that's you. And then I got to hear about it for 2 weeks until you get to another game.
Deal with it.
I am.
Good.
Until you get through complaining. That's what I'm doing. That's all I'm dealing with.
At some point, you should actually play a game.
We should.
I think we've played one game once.
It's a long time ago.
Yeah. I think it was fantasy.
It might have been. I think we played a 40K game on the same side.
Well, yeah. Did we smash the other guys?
We destroyed
them. I'm pretty sure we did.
I was playing Dark Angels with my squats.
Squats! Oh, that's right! Yeah, that's right. And I was playing Chaos. we fucking tabled them. Yeah. That was awesome.
Guy was playing Garden Eldar.
Yeah, it was Garden Eldar, and we fucking tabled them. It wasn't even a game. It was awesome.
But anyway, this new edition, I think, is a good thing because it's going to change up the whole tournament. It's going to change up how people put their armies together. There's going to be a lot of guesswork until next year's Adepticon, when all of a sudden you find out who's winning the tournaments, and then people start making their lists to that. Right, so we got a year worth of playing around and people guessing and second-guessing army lists before that actually happens.
Well, you'll see. I think you'll see even quicker than that.
You think so?
I think you'll see it. You'll see.
Well, yeah, people are going to be playing on Vassal and stuff, too.
At Nova Open, you'll see stuff, because I'm pretty sure they're going to do 6-dead.
Oh, yeah?
Because it's not. That's end of August, so.
You think they're going to do
the organizer said if it came out a month and a half or 2 months before his tournament, and I don't see attendees wanting to play 5th edition.
Yeah, no.
2 months after the new edition came out, they've spent all this time working on their 6th ed, learning the rules.
And so, changing their lists.
Changing their lists and having to go back and play old edition.
Reducing war gear and
the
characters.
I'd call him up and get my money back if he went to 5th.
Yeah.
I wouldn't play.
That would probably be wise.
I think it makes sense. I mean, you're going to start seeing it. But even still, even if it's in August, people might win tournaments with it. But you got to remember, not a lot of people know how to play with the new edition. It still takes time for people to learn the rule book and really get to know it.
Yeah.
I mean, just a month out.
That takes games.
I bet in Nova there's going to be some sweet shoutdowns, though. You're fucking wrong! You're wrong! And then someone needs to come by and be like, your guys are forgetting the most important rule. Roll off!
put on your player A hand.
Your player A and player B. Dunce caps. You need some wear them.
I just think a baseball cap with A and B.
They're tin foil caps.
we should make those.
Stop
game classy. It'll say game classy around the top, and it'll have big A on it. And the other one will say game classy, and it'll have a B
on it.
It
should be crocheted.
Like little knit caps, stocking caps.
Yes.
Maybe,
player A, player maybe B.
With a little dangling ball.
Maybe. Oh, obviously. And the bop on the top.
Maybe my wife will make them, put them on Etsy. They'll be like, you know, 40K knitted caps.
40K! 40K! Fantasy! Kings of War!
They won't have the Aquila.
You can't, you'll be sued.
I'll be sued.
Do a one-headed eagle.
Oh.
With instead of the wings going straight out, little arc up. Or a little arc down. Uh-huh. One head.
One of each walking.
Oh, that's a good call. Yeah, we're doing the Egyptian.
I like how you're doing it. Like the people on the podcast can see.
I always like to add visual references to the cast. I've mentioned this before.
Visual references.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got the. That's what my feelings on the Robook are. What do you think, Steve? Your feelings on the Robook.
Overall, I'm going to give it a thumbs up.
Yeah.
Overall, thumbs up.
How many stars? Out of five.
I'll give it a solid 3.
Solid 3.
Which fifth was a 2.
Okay.
So this is an entire star up, in my opinion.
Okay. And what else? Why would you give it 3 out of 5? You've had a lot of complaints.
I know it's kind of hard not to just keep knocking it because being negative is fun. I think there's more game to it. There's gonna be more stuff to do. There's gonna be more interesting situations that come up, which is gonna really benefit the beer and pretzel style gameplay.
Yeah.
It's gonna be awesome because you're gonna see lots of new things. There's gonna be cool stories. There's gonna be some shenanigans stories that come up. Stories are gonna be like and then of course there's gonna be the many, many boring stories where guys like, and the shot scattered directly back into the same battle cannon that fired it.
I guess you could say he was hoisted by his own petard.
And then I rolled the penetration roll, and I got boxcars.
Was it a guy who said that hoisted by his own petard?
Yes. Yeah, another guy. One guy was telling the story about the cannon, the shot scattering directly back, and then another guy just goes, like, even dorkier, is like,
he was hoisted by his own petard.
Yeah, it was brutal.
It was
brutal. I mean, it looks fun. I think playing a 1,500 points or less is the key. Let's keep it like that. So I'm probably not ever going to play in a tournament because I only ever want to play 1,500 points, which I guess I'll have to deal with.
All right. Well, I think that's pretty good on that. I wanted to talk about a couple things else with this.
That are not 40K?
Not 40K.
Yay!
Okay. One thing. I've been playing around with eBay a lot lately, just collecting odds and ends figures. If you put stuff on eBay and you put your stuff is professionally painted, it better damn well be professionally painted.
That's the best. I love seeing some of those. I saw a dude, it was a caked on Space Marine.
Oh, God.
It was the like chunkiest Space Marine figure I'd ever seen. Ever. And it was like pro painted Space Marine Commander. $50. I'm like, are you shitting me?
The pro painted, and the fact that like you can't look on eBay without seeing people put up fully painted regiments. They're painted like ass and they're charging astronomical prices for the painting, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
That drives me crazy. And also, when you put out of print OOP collectible or next to a model that's
like anything Lord of the Rings, it's highly collectible.
I've been trying to buy, like, just old Lizardmen figures, old Lizardmen 5th edition figures. Every single model that's old has OOP collectible next to it. And so they think that they can charge more money. Like, okay, I know these models aren't widely available, but there are 16 Croxagores also with this? That does not mean that they're collectible when there's 16 of them on there.
Yeah.
That's been driving me crazy, and I've been wanting to get that off my chest. Just, like, if you put stuff on eBay, just be honest with it and try and get an honest price
yes.
for it.
Instead of pro-painted, why don't you just put fully painted?
Yeah.
I mean, if I see a model that's painted like trash and it says fully painted, I'm like, this man is being genuine.
Yes, he is honest.
It's fully, I mean, it's not well done, but it's fully painted.
Just because you painted a model like poo and you put it in front of a fancy background does not mean it's pro painted.
Yeah, if you're not a professional painter, don't fucking put pro painted.
Yes. I, honest to God, like, there's a guy who does it online. I wish I knew his name off the top of my head because he puts up on everything. Like, there's like only like 6 people who sell on eBay anymore. They're all like, you know, there are like 3 companies, and one of them is a guy who paints everything, and he's the worst fucking painter on the planet.
You should find his name so we can call him out on the next cast.
I might just call him out now.
You're gonna look? You're gonna hunt it down?
Yeah, because I've been fucking pulling up some shit.
Fine, while you hunt that down, I'll take over the cast completely.
What are you gonna talk about? King of War?
We'll talk about dicks.
Talk about dicks.
No, you're gonna play King's War with me.
I don't mind Kings of War. I think it's a great game. I just don't think it's as great as you say it is. That's just my thing. It's like,
I didn't say it was the best ever. I just said it's much better than Warhammer Fantasy. It's much better than Warhammer Fantasy.
See, that, I mean, that's where me and you will disagree, because I honestly don't think it's as good as Warhammer Fantasy.
But you've only played three games of Fantasy.
Of 8th edition.
Of 8th edition. Yeah, yeah, well, there's plenty of other editions of Fantasy which were good, or better. Not better than Kings of War, but were good editions. But the current edition? The worst. The worst. If you have a Fantasy army, just use it to play Kings of War. You'll have a better time.
Yeah, I mean, and, like, this is... me and you have been talking about this for the last 3 hours. I don't think that making rules simpler makes a game better. You think it does?
I do, as long as it's applied correctly. An overly complex, it's all in the size. A super complex, many rules, lots of possibilities, all sorts of crazy shit that can happen would be fine in a game if you use 5 models. So if you have 5 models and they can have broken arms, broken legs, concussions, knockdowns, all sorts of effects, all sorts of crazy shit, those rules can be very cool, but not when you're playing with 150 models per side.
I disagree with that. I think that
you'd like to do concussions and broken limbs for every model in your regiment?
Yeah, because that doesn't exist in Fantasy, you jackass.
I'm going to make up rules, too.
I'm going to say Fantasy, every model's got 3 penises.
My example is there's
your
more
example
rules.
Doesn't make any...
No, there's way more rules.
Yes, and I don't think that's a bad thing.
It slows the game down. The game's too random already, because I'm just going to blow... You're just going to blow up... No, you're playing Skaven. You're going to blow up their best regiment with one spell. You're going to go, 13th spell, and you're going to blow up an entire regiment and be like, yay, this game's the best. That'll be you.
I'm the champion of Warhammer. I'm the champion of the Warhammer.
Hammers. Warhammer. You said it wrong.
All right, I've got my eBay pulled up. It actually crashed for a second. I know.
Your phone's about as good as 8th edition.
Oh! So it's better than Kings of War?
No. No, not at all.
I think this is the guy. I don't know if this is true. JC Winwin is the guy's name. It just...
Let me see a mini.
Oh.
You gotta let me see. This is gonna be gripping for the podcast.
Oh, yeah, it's great. I don't know if this is the guy for sure. I think this is the guy who does it. My app is being really funky right now.
I mean, this mini isn't terrible. But I mean,
just for the exorbitant price...
What's he charging?
Well, cover saves everything.
Steve took one look at the price and just went, no. Literally, Steve was like, oh, this ain't a bad paid job.
It's not that bad.
And I showed him the price for $60 for one figure, and Steve, like, literally flipped the table, destroyed everything. And it was all good in the hood there.
Yeah. Yeah. That was not eating good in the neighborhood.
No. 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 But, I gotta say, it's just like, I'm glad that I'm moving away from eBay. I've been finding a lot of good stuff on Craigslist lately, and I think people are moving towards Craigslist to sell a lot of stuff. And get rid of
stuff. Always been selling stuff on Craigslist.
Yeah, but I mean, Warhammer. I haven't seen Warhammer on Craigslist for a while.
Well, I mean, eBay fees, they're expensive.
Yeah, and people, it's like you get lost between people selling shit for ridiculous prices.
Yeah. Yeah, I sell a lot of new in-box stuff on eBay.
Yeah.
But that always goes okay.
Yeah.
But it's not fully painted.
Yeah, exactly. And people try and put up fully painted stuff and expect that they're going to get Michelangelo-style prices.
Yeah, man, I'm gonna put up one of those fully painted regiments of Chaos Warriors I have in the Bay, and I'm going to price each one at $60. Dude, at $60. It's going to be $600 for my block.
Yeah,
my one block.
That's actually going to happen.
I could do it. I could post it.
We got about 10 minutes left, so I wanted to just talk about some of the stuff that's going to be coming up. Got Gen Con coming up.
Gen Con?
We talk about Gen Con every podcast, but it's the big thing.
Yeah, get out to Gen Con.
Fantasy Flight, they're releasing their Star Wars minigame.
X-Wing.
It looks pretty cool. I'm hoping that the rules are actually good.
It's Star Wars. I'm not touching it.
I know. I'm just like, I'm afraid that it's going to be really, really, really bad. Because I think it might just be a cash grab on their part.
Well, it's Star Wars, so I'll never know.
So you'll never know.
I'll never know.
But I mean, the pre-painted figures at least look pretty damn good.
Except they're X-Wings and TIE Fighters.
Yeah, so?
I mean, if they were Battle Stars or Base Stars or an Enterprise... Even if it was Voyager, I'd be more excited.
Well, they do have pre-painted...
I know.
Have you ever played that Star Trek?
No, I haven't played the clicky one.
The clicky one? It was a really cool-looking box set.
Yeah, it was like every Enterprise ever.
It was like all the different Federation ships, and then it was all like... It was all next-gen.
Yeah.
And all like...
Well, because a Cold Arms has no next-gen.
Yeah, a Cold Arms has no next-gen. It's all original series. Yeah.
Which is kind of crappy, because most of their ships just look like boxes.
Yeah. The problem is that, once again... It comes down to a company not getting their models professionally painted when they put it on their website and box art.
Well,
and
the Federation stuff looks good for Cold Arms.
Oh, God. It looks
not the paint jobs. The sculpts.
Oh, yeah, the figures. The sculpts are the old Starfleet Academy.
But there's a bunch of sculpts that just look like a box.
Yeah.
I think the Gorn ships look like a box.
The Gorn is. Well, the Gorn are just. I don't even know why they have Gorn ships for that game.
I don't know. The Gorn, I don't ever remember the Gorn being like a big spacefaring race.
Once you saw a Gorn ship, and it was in the arena episode,
yeah.
And they don't even do anything. They just chase it, and then they get caught in that planet, and then Kirk has to shoot a cannon.
Yeah.
Gorn guy.
He has to make the cannon.
He has to make the cannon. That's a mock time.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
But I mean, that's the official dueling song.
Okay.
Anytime there's a challenge.
Yeah, and so it's like I'm kind of excited about that. There hasn't been a lot of like really big like this is going to be released at Gen Con. D&D Next is going to have
Iron Kingdoms RPG.
Oh, that's the one I wanted.
Iron Kingdoms RPG is being dropped at Gen Con. I will be getting a copy.
You will be getting a copy
for sure. I'll do a full review.
You'll do a full review.
Also, I just kickstarted a new RPG called Shadows of Esterin.
I saw that. You put that up.
Looks very cool. Yeah. Very cool looking game.
I was looking through it. I didn't see anything that really stood out to me, but I'm not a big RPG player.
It's very rules light.
Yeah.
You have 10 stats. All tests are a D10 plus your stat score, which is sweet. And it's a dark fantasy world. There are only humans. There are monsters and supernatural elements. But player characters available? Only humans. I like that. I mean, you get a lot.
Can I play a halfling?
No.
Then I don't want to play.
You could play a dwarf. You could be like Tyrion.
I don't want to be a dwarf. I want to be a halfling. Can I be a halfling?
No.
Then I don't want to play your damn game.
Fine.
I want to be a halfling.
I'm banning halflings in D&D Next anyway.
You're not banning any.
No halflings, no gnomes.
I'm coming in as a halfling.
You can't.
I'm going to come in with the shoes on my knees, and I'm going to have like a little wooden sword and a jam jar that says jam on it.
No.
And I'm going to stab you in the nuts with a wooden sword.
They're banned.
Anyway, that game looked cool. Iron Kingdom is dropping,
yes,
at Gen Con.
Which should be awesome. I mean, their rules are very tight for their miniatures game, so I assume the rules are going to be very tight for the role-playing game.
We hope so. We don't know for sure.
We'll have to see.
I've seen some of the models for Iron Kingdoms. I like the Iron Kingdoms models.
Oh, the Full Metal Fantasy range?
Yeah.
They're cool. They got some. I like their, they have a Tomb Guardian or something. It's like a rusted-up statue of like a chick. That's very cool.
Yeah.
Some of their trolls really neat. He's got the cone head mouth where he's got like the rows of teeth.
Yeah.
The rows and rows of teeth. That guy's cool. Their guard models are really sweet. They're like halberd guards. There's like, you know, generic guard dudes, but they look cool. Yeah, the Full Metal Fantasy range is good.
It'll be interesting to take a look at.
And I keep hearing rumors of this mysterious box set that's coming out that's going to be about the size and price of Grind, their board game.
Yeah,
which is going to be a shit ton of plastic figures.
Grind is actually not a bad game.
No,
it's like $50. You get four giant mechs with a bunch of customizable
weapons.
It's
$80.
And you get, really? No, they had it on sale. That's the reason.
Yeah, it's $80 and it has way more jacks than four. You've got 9 jacks on the Signar side, and I think 8 on the Kator side.
Really?
Yeah, there's a lot of jacks in there. And that's they're talking about doing that for the RPG. Well, not talking about it. I hear rumors about it. Privateer said nothing, but they're going to do a...
Rumors.
Yeah, they're going to do a plastic box set. So.
Interesting. That'll be something to keep an eye on. You know, because I just pre-ordered the Hordes box set. I'm kind of excited about that.
Now they're on War Machine.
I got that.
Got what?
I'm gonna get the Hordes.
What? I just kind of zoned out. I was like, I was staring at the Talisman, the copy of Talisman.
You want to play some Talisman after this is over?
Maybe. Is that the second edition? That looks like the first edition. I don't want to play the first edition. I don't want to play the first edition.
God, you suck.
I don't like playing games with hanky rules.
Well, then why are you playing games?
That doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. Their rules are pretty generic.
Why do you love Star Wars so much?
I hate you. Why do you like Bendis?
No, Delanois loves Bendis.
Yeah, but you love Delanois.
Hey, Delanois. Can you come over here and say you love Bendis on the cast? Yes! All right, everyone. This is a momentous occasion. Podcast number 13.
The funny thing about
Dan Delanois has been mentioned possibly every single podcast.
There's one that I wasn't.
One that he wasn't mentioned in is about to proclaim his love for Bendis.
Hello, everyone. I am Dan Delanois, and I love Bendis.
Yes! All right, I can die now.
The funny thing about this is there's probably most of the people who are listening to this podcast have no idea who Bendis is.
That doesn't matter.
Nobody has any idea who Dan Delanois is.
Everyone should know Dan Delanois.
Everyone should know Dan Delanois.
Funny fucking story about Dan Delanois. I was talking to Joe at work, and I'm like, hey, I'll see if you want to come to this hobby night thing that Dave's running. And he's like, oh, maybe. I was like, I'll see if it's cool if you're interested in going. And I'm like, he's like, oh, who's going to be there? I'm like, well, Joe, obviously use your last name, Josh, listing off some people there. And then I go, and Dan Delanois is going to be there. And then my three other coworkers who are all out with us because we're all smoking, one of them goes like, oh, Dan Delanois. Oh, he's going to be there, huh? And they're for the rest of the day, they're like, Dan Delanois is going to be there. Did you hear? Everyone, it's his name. It sticks in your head.
He is a local legend.
Apparently, because it's like my coworkers are like, Dan Delanois.
Well, it's because he probably listened to the podcast and you mentioned him on every podcast.
I don't think so. My coworkers are all sports fans and they don't play games. I am the only person other than Joe who works in my company who actually has played a game.
And he works at a game company. All right, so that's about it for our hour. I hope we talked about some 40K stuff.
About just 40K. We had like 10 minutes of other things.
Yeah, just about. Mm-hmm.
For like half an hour there, Jay.
what's our time?
Oh, we're at an hour now.
Yeah.
We talked about 40K. I just can't talk about 40K that much. No matter
we're
how
not,
much.
We're not a specific game podcast.
No, we're not.
You can't be, because those are the worst to listen to, because you end up getting like a 3-hour cast and 2 hours and 45 minutes of the cast. The guy's like, and then I played a guy using orcs, and he brought multiple battle wagons, and it was a really interesting game. And he tells you about this game.
Why don't you tell me about the last time you played with your Dark Eldar?
Well, see, when I was playing with the Dark Eldar.
Why are you trying to get to Bill Cosby?
I see you kids are designing D&D.
I shot him with my zip zap cannon.
Yeah, he had the zip zaps, and I just scattered it directly back and hit the guy who fired it. And then the guy went blip, blip, blip. Yeah, I don't want to fucking hear about your stupid ass battle reports for 3 fucking hours. I want to be entertained. Some dude like monotonely droning on about his battles. Ugh. The worst. They're like, and I was the greatest tactician of the land, so I was able to win the tournament.
Hammerheads everywhere.
So bad. I don't give a shit, dude. Tell me, talk about new models, new rules, and then get onto something fun, like dicks.
Steve loves getting on a dick.
Who's a dick? Are you getting on a dick?
So anyway, go to planetarbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs.
What exactly is a Planet Arbitrary need?
You know,
because you mentioned that on all of the casts, and I'm like, every time you say a thing, I'm like, what the fuck does that mean?
Planet Arbitrary Need is basically when I write an article about Game of Thrones or X-Files, or if you want to read about Game of Thrones. Or perhaps Doctor Who.
Fuck Doctor Who. That sucks.
I decided to take a couple week break from writing articles. I'm probably going to write some for backup, but I just needed some time off from writing. One time I was writing like 4 articles a week. And
can I write articles for game classing?
Yeah, sure.
I'll just like send them to you or something.
Sure.
Nice.
You can like us on Facebook. You can like Planet Arbitrary Facebook page. You can also like the Game Classy Facebook page. Steve is now officially at the 30 likes, so he's excited there.
Yeah, I've got insights now.
As he mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, he wants to, when we get 100...
I'm not want to. I'm running a contest.
100 likes.
100 likes.
I just like the Game Classy page during the podcast.
So to Josh, I will roll a D100 and I'll videotape it. I should videotape it and find an actual
watch. You don't have to do that.
But I should. No, I want to record the roll.
And the winner is Joe!
That'd be awesome. Or it'll be like... I think a gaming company likes us on Facebook, so it'll be like, and it was
Warlord Games.
Kensei Miniatures. Yeah, oh, shit. So I will roll a D100, and whoever I roll, I will give a War Machine 2-player box set to.
And you could also...
For freebies.
You could go to... you could follow us on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You could follow Steve at Game Classy.
Yes, I need more followers on Twitter. There's only 18.
Yeah.
I have an account. I have a parody Arnold Schwarzenegger account on Twitter that has 400 followers.
Do you really?
And I only have 18 followers on Game Classy. It's very irritating.
You should go on there and do it as Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like Game Classy. Do it now.
You idiots.
Do it now, you idiots. You should do that. It'll probably get at least like...
It's sci-fi Schwarzenegger, and it's Arnold Shepard. So it's Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he's dressed like Commander Shepard, and all I do are hodgepodges of Mass Effect lines with Schwarzenegger lines.
I hope you're proud of yourself. You are the cancer that is killing...
Dude, 400 followers. I have quality content with Game Classy. I feel we have some quality content. 18 likes. Horse drivel shit with the other one, 400. 400 followers.
I don't know. My favorite Twitter account is still Star Trek The Next Generation Season 8. That's still my favorite.
Isn't that like from like actual scripts?
No, it's just some made-up stuff that the guy said.
Oh, he's making it up? Okay. I haven't seen it, but I'd heard that like there were some like scripts that they were going to do. Something about that. I don't know.
So anyway, I think that's about it. Subscribe to us on iTunes, that'd be great because it'll get our numbers up. And to our listener in Norway who keeps my numbers popped up, thank you.
That dude's badass, yeah.
I wish I knew how to say thank you in Norwegian.
Das Verdanya, comrade.
Dunkashank.
Darling, Dunkashank.
Okay, so,
hey, that can says Deep Space Adventure on it.
Yeah, that's why, when it goes in your anus. So, Steve,
space docking?
Yes. Until next time.
Well, it's always fun if you're winning.
Especially if you're playing Grey Knights.
Grey Knights!